OTB Sports Radio.
If you're feeling a little like you're going a bit stir crazy, take a break and listen to Richie's Isolation Mix. 1 hour of ad-free music every day from midday on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, celebrating 10 years of iconic sporting moments at the Aviva Stadium.
Okay, so Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, is marking the 10-year anniversary of the official opening of the Aviva Stadium and its proud long-term sponsorship of the iconic venue. To celebrate this milestone, Aviva are paying tribute to some of the most iconic sporting moments of the past decade. Feel free to join in at home as well, because you can follow Aviva Ireland on Instagram and Twitter and share your favourite Aviva Stadium memories using the hashtag #SaveToDream. Right, so all this week on OTB AM, we've been trying to crown the greatest football moment in the Aviva Stadium. We ran our quarterfinals on Monday and Tuesday morning. We had Shane Long, Kieran Kelly, John Walters and Sean Maguire against Dundalk. They all qualified for the semi-finals, and then it happened. The two FAI Cup final moments won out against two of the biggest Irish international moments of the decade. Kieran Kelly's penalty shootout heroics in 2010 beating Shane Long's goal against Germany. And then Sean Maguire's winner against Dundalk beat John Walters' Bosnia performance that sent us to the Euros. So the final is today. It's a League of Ireland derby, and you can vote right now on Off the Ball. Currently, it's looking like Sean Maguire is running away with this thing. So the Cork City fans at home most certainly have their act together. Adrian, what a week this has been for the League of Ireland, we should just say. Like, this has been a crushing blow to Jonathan Walters and to Shane Long. But what a mark of how impressed we should be by, like, the way all the League of Ireland fans have moved to actually get this thing done. But it looks like Cork City fans may actually be the best League of Ireland fans out there, considering this is a fairly dominant performance by Seanie Maguire in the Twitter poll so far.
Yeah, the Aviva Stadium has been great for the League of Ireland, for the FAI Cup particularly, obviously, the moments that it's given us over the years. The Maguire goal, like, as a moment, was unbelievable. Like, obviously, end of extra time, neither team had managed to score at that point, and Maguire hadn't been having a great game and manages somehow to get the ball home, like, in that moment, has the composure to do that. And, like, it was a scrappy goal. It was a fairly horrible goal. The strike wasn't actually that bad. It probably wouldn't have beaten the keeper on the trajectory it was taken, but that it took a massive deflection. But, like, his composure at that time from a long throw in just to sort of, yeah, take control of the ball and get the shot away alone was kind of impressive enough, and it was pretty much the last kick of the game. But it's very different from the Kieran Kelly instance, right? Now that we're down to the final two, and by the way, like, Shane Long, I mean, how do you look past that as a moment of moments? An incredible goal. I was remembering at that game that night with my brother, and just the ecstasy that we were all in as the ball rippled the net was unreal. But yeah, as a moment, like, the Maguire thing is about the significance, and, you know, his own personal journey, having been dished out by Dundalk. So getting a little bit of revenge, maybe. And the Kelly one is more about, like, the skill level almost, isn't it? Like, funny, because he was talking to you guys during the week, and he was saying, did he say that he had moved, he was off the line, or he was moving early or whatever? Jeez, I thought, looking back at it, he was really sticking to his fairly steadfastly in a way that goalkeepers mostly don't, to his goal line before the ball was kicked, and almost reacting after it had been kicked. So there are two very different moments, obviously, in the context of both and all that stuff. As a moment, it's hard to pick between them.
Yeah, for sure. But it's looking like Seanie Maguire is well in front at the moment. But get voting if you want to change that. We're moving next week, of course, on to our best rugby moment at the Aviva Stadium. Alan Quinlan, you're with us. A very good morning.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Just a quick word on that. Rugby moments next week. If you had to pick one from the Aviva Stadium, what would be the best rugby moment that you've witnessed?
Yeah, probably the win against New Zealand 2018. I think if you're picking out moments in that game, I suppose Jacob Stockdale's try was a massive moment at a really crucial time in the game. It was 47th or 8th minute, I think it was, right after half time. But probably if I was picking one moment, I think would be the Peter O'Mahony turnover, which led to that penalty. He had three big turnovers on the 46th minute, the 60th minute and the 62nd minute before he went off, and they were all really significant. And you always pick, sometimes people will always jump at the person who scored the goal, scored the try, scored the point or whatever as the actual moment. And that's very understandable. But I always love to look back at what led to this moment. And O'Mahony's turnover on the 46th minute was just a really, really big moment. You could argue the one on the 60th minute when Beauden Barrett puts a little grubber through. I'm not sure if you remember that, Owen. I think most people probably do, where it looked like the ball was going to sit up for Ben Smith and that New Zealand would score and get right back into the game. O'Mahony scrambles back and gathers the ball as it kind of bounces up. And so I think if I was to pick one, obviously, as I said, more people would probably go for the try from Stockdale. It was brilliantly executed, fantastic kick through. But I think the Peter O'Mahony turnover on the 60th minute when Ireland were 16-6 up was really crucial. And that was the thing that probably the moment that won the game for Ireland, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard stopped next week, but loads of great Aviva rugby memories coming next week on OTB AM. Alan, we didn't really get a chance to chat to you over the last couple of weeks about the Roman Salanoa story, about his movement from Leinster to Munster a couple of weeks ago. And Neil Francis had an interesting piece in the Irish Independent yesterday, just writing about how Salanoa will know the Leinster playbook, about how Leinster aren't going to get compensated for these sort of moves the more they happen, and how this will eventually lead to a big row, I think was the word he said, between Leinster and Munster, or between various provinces at this point. Do you see it like that?
This case is a little bit different, I think. Not many people know a lot about it. Roman Salanoa was brought in here by the IRFU 3 years ago. He wasn't brought in by Leinster, Munster, Ulster or Connacht. It was a different scenario, if you like, something that hasn't really happened here, where the RFU bring in a player and he was presented to them basically through Eddie O'Sullivan, who had contacts in America. He'd only started playing rugby when he was 18, went on to play under 20s for the USA and was quite keen through an Irish connection of a school and a teacher in Hawaii, who Eddie knew and had conversations, and those conversations were presented to the RFU and they were interested in bringing in the player. It was obviously he's been paid all along. He's been paid by the RFU, not Leinster. He went and played rugby with Old Belvedere, put into the Leinster Academy. I can certainly understand from Leinster's point of view that they would be very frustrated and would be disappointed to lose the player. And I think it's something that it's easy for me and for people outside of Leinster, taking any sort of bias out of this thing on, I think it's easy for us to kind of say it's more understandable and it's more acceptable for players from Leinster to move around the provinces. It's a very, very common thing in New Zealand. It's a very, very common thing in Australia. And it's not frowned upon at all. It's something that the team that are mainly affected by this are Leinster, because they produce so many players and they're probably not happy. You know, Carberry was the big one, losing a player that would probably, even with Johnny Sexton there, would probably have been in the starting lineup or else coming off the bench at worst in all their big games. One of their top players went to Leinster. Probably more understandable over the years, where certain players who couldn't get onto the Leinster side or maybe weren't getting renewed contracts moved around the provinces and then they excel themselves. Andrew Conway is one that kind of jumps out. He's a top class international who probably struggled for game time at the start of his Leinster career. So it doesn't sit pretty with Leinster, and that's fully understandable. But Salanoa was a very, very different case, because essentially, he was being paid by the IRFU right from the start. And I think David Nussafora and the IRFU, they want to try and speed up his development a little bit now. The plan initially was that he would go to Connacht to increase that development and speed up that development. But it was made abundantly clear to all the provinces that if they wanted a player, they'd have to put their best foot forward. And Initially, the player decided to he wanted to go to Munster, then changed his mind, and then changed his mind again. And I know Neil Francis was, Frano was talking about, you know, him being forced to move. From what I understand, that wasn't the case, that he was forced to move. I think he was quite keen on trying a new challenge. He was very, very cognizant and understanding of what, you know, his time with Leinster and the quality there. But I think if you look at the depth chart they have, there's probably more of an opportunity at the moment for him to kind of jump up the levels, if you like. But who knows? It's an unknown situation. Nobody really knows how good he is. There's certainly massive potential there. There's incredible power and strength. But you know, Leinster are very, we've got to acknowledge, and it's a fact. If I was involved in Leinster, I wouldn't be happy because they've lost another player. But that's just the nature of the way the business is at the moment. And I think it's they've got to justify probably. You know, they've so many decisions to make. Leo Cullen has so many decisions to make year on year when you see the quality of players that are coming through. And I think probably Jack Ainger moving to Connacht, from what I can gather, probably they thought Roman Salano was staying and Jack Ainger was allowed to move to Connacht, and then they lose two young tight heads. So it's probably frustrating and disappointing for them. But this was a very, very different situation than Leinster having produced a player themselves, and he'd come all the way through their system. This guy came in 3 years ago, was being paid by the RFU all the way through. So it was a different type of contract. And I think let's see how it pans out. As I said, I understand where Leinster are coming from, and but it may be Munster's gain if he produces the potential that maybe all four provinces think he has at this stage, because really he only kind of came to people's attention during the World Cup when he played a couple of games for Leinster. I know Munster were very keen on him anyway because he played a couple of A games against Leinster at the start of the season for Leinster against Munster. And going right back 3 years ago on, Munster... Roman Salano was the original plan was that he was going to go to Munster at the time because of I think there the potential for him to maybe excel there. But it was discussed then, and it was decided that it would be easier to monitor him here in Dublin, and that's what happened. So he's an RFU player who was put in with Leinster, and Leinster have obviously done a lot for him, and I can understand fully that they're disappointed to lose a player. As I said, I don't know how good this guy is going to be. I haven't seen very little of him, but again, it's another player leaving Leinster, which I'm sure doesn't sit pretty with him.
When you're explaining you're losing, Quinny, I think is the short phrase on that one. Talk to us about a couple of the other signings. Obviously, Damian D'Alande, we're told, is in Ireland. Orgie Sneeman, Matt Gallagher as well. And a word as well on Tyler Blaindall, who's had to retire long before he should have done this week.
Yeah, I think Tyler Blaindall has been very unlucky. When I think of Tyler Blaindall, I think back to Christian Cullen. You know, the potential, obviously Christian Cullen was a world-class international at that stage when he came to Munster when I was there, and he came injured, and Tyler Blaindall came injured. And when you hear neck injuries in rugby, it's I know players do recover, but the injuries have kind of dogged him. Had a really good season in 2016-17, showed some of that potential and that quality, and then got another neck injury in November 17, and he's only played 62 times in 5 years, which is, I suppose, from a business point of view, it's not a great return for him. But he's been very unlucky, very, very popular amongst the players, intelligent, skillful, but unfortunately, you know, it was probably inevitable with the latest injury that he wasn't going to be able to continue. And there's talk maybe that he'll get involved in the coaching setup there.
Yeah, And the last thing we want to mention to you is the Ronan O'Gara column this morning in the Irish Examiner. You get a good mention very early in it. It's a lot of reflections on the... you haven't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't seen it yet, no.
Reflections on the Last Dance and how to build that sort of winning culture within the dressing room and the, you know, capacity for players to call each other out and that sort of stuff. And he talks about a game where you'd been on the seconds team in training and they were obviously trying to lay down the gauntlet. They were running through their moves and you were messing up the moves and he gave you a bit of a bollocking. I'm not sure if this one instance sort of stands out for you amongst all the others, but that winning culture... Does it? Go on, what happened?
It does, because what he said to me, but I couldn't repeat exactly what he said.
He says blank, blank, I think was the expression that he used.
Yeah, I was coming back from injury and I was quite trying to lay down a marker and I was probably disrupting training a little bit and I had a little scuffle with Rog and he said, basically said, I am where I am because I'm a useless blank, blank. And that was the story. And I kind of laughed at it because... We've had little tiffs where I've been running around the field trying to get after him and box the head off him. even though we were always very close, I think I just laughed at this one. I went away laughing, thinking it was I have much of a comeback there, but I just thought it was funny. And then he did apologize afterwards, and we just kind of. But I think it happened. It happened a lot with certainly in the environment I was in where. You just be shocked at times with some of the fellas who'd end up fighting or rowing. They'd be very close and they'd be trying to either throw insults at each other or trying to box the heads off each other. And that was just part and parcel of it all. And it's part of the competitive nature. If you're not on the 15, it doesn't matter who's ahead of you. You just want to get in there and that makes for good competitive nature in the squad, you know.
Did it ever spill over, Alan, into somebody actually throwing a punch?
Loads of times, yeah. We had, I think it's well documented, we had a full-on 8-on-8 boxing match around 2000, 2001 in Thomond Park when we were training. Again, the team was picked, we're doing lineouts. And one side are not happy, they're not on the team. The other side are happy. And I think it started with Des Clossy hitting his brother Peter Clossy a punch. And then it was an all-out scramble for punches swinging everywhere, and Niall O'Donovan was the forwards coach at the time, and I remember chatting to him afterwards, and he actually said that it was great. He just sat back, folded his arms and said they're all men now, they can sort it out themselves, and it means we're up for the match the weekend. And but usually those punches are not kind of, you know, there's punches thrown, but you would hope they wouldn't be connecting because of the power of some of the players. But some have connected over the years. There's been a couple of various scraps. Marcus Horan and myself were we had a little scrap one time in Cork where it continued to some verbals in the car park afterwards.
Frankie Sheehan had to separate you?
Yeah, this is the Mr. X story, where the John verbals Hayes. Were continuing right through. Well, Mr. X, did I reveal Mr. X?
You did, absolutely. Yeah. John Hayes was out as
But it happened. I didn't answer the question about Snyman and Diolinde.
Go on, we've got a minute there. Go for it, Jack.
Top class internationals. And I said this on News Talk Breakfast yesterday. You know, throughout my time, when you bring in an international player, particularly if they're an top class international one, they've got to be world class. And these guys are world class. So, I know it doesn't sit pretty with everyone, the amount of players maybe that Munster have brought in, but it'll certainly give them a massive opportunity to maybe go beyond that semi-final stage in Europe, which they've been in the last couple of years. I know they didn't get out of the pool this year, but I think it's 7 semi-finals on the bounce that they've lost. So it may give them that extra little bit, but they're certainly fantastic players that they've signed.
Yeah. All right, Quinny, we're going to leave it there for the morning. Thanks a million. Take care.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM.
With Aviva, Ireland's largest insurer, celebrating 10 years of iconic sporting moments at the Aviva Stadium. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.